Hey, so this coffee's really good tonight.
You don't know why?
Yeah, why?
You really want to know why?
Well, I bet you're gonna tell me.
It's because I'm wearing a robe.
That's why? That's why the coffee's especially good tonight.
Stuff is made better without pants. And once you're in a robe, if I had a pipe right now, doesn't matter what pipe, it'd be tobacco, crack, I don't know. It'd be awesome right now.
Any pipe.
Yeah, this is a really nice, comfy robe that I'm pretty sure has never been washed.
It looks comfy, but it also does look dirty.
I don't care.
That's character.
This shirt has a blood stain on it, man.
It's also got some holes in it.
It does.
I'm
It's
seeing
just
more than
it's just
than
an
I
all white
should.
shirt, and
With
it has blood on it. I don't know
yeah.
whose. It's probably mine for all I know. When I was doing my underground fighting or my werewolf hunting, I don't know, man.
It's when you attended the werewolf bar mitzvah.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm gonna play the main song now.
Don't. Okay, never mind. Do it.
Okay,
Now
I'm playing it.
you can do it.
I'm playing it. I'm playing
Wait,
it.
wait.
I'm what?
Okay, now. Okay.
I'm playing it. I don't care what you say.
All right.
They're gonna make a big star out of me. We'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely. And all I gotta do is act naturally. Well, I'll bet you I'm gonna be a big star. Might win an Oscar, you can't never tell. The movie's gonna make me a big star, 'cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you come to see me in the movie. Then I know that you will plainly see. Biggest fool that's ever hit the big time. And all I gotta do is act naturally. We'll make the scene about a man that's sad and lonely and begging down upon his bended knee. I'll play the part, but I won't need rehearsing. All I'll have to do is act naturally. Well, I'll bet you I'm a gonna be a big star. Might win an Oscar, you can't never tell. The movie's gonna make me a big star, 'cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you come to see me in the movie. Then I know that you will plainly see. The biggest fool's ever hit the big time. And all I gotta do is act naturally.
Hey!
All right.
Welcome to Late Night at the Movie Emporium!
You're excited.
I mean, I thought it had to be. I was doing a little introduction.
I mean, you
there.
Can be excited. You're like particularly excited.
Well, it's because I have my radio voice on there.
Yeah, you
like,
did.
Hey, welcome to WHS 96.9, The Fox. Coming up. I know.
Yeah, just, okay.
Well, I'm Eli Osman.
And I'm Andrew Ford.
And welcome to Late Night at the Movie Emporium.
Tonight's episode.
Episode 2.
The unsung heroes of buddy cop genre.
Yes.
The unknown masterpieces.
Yes, we spent the entire...
Well, the entire week... No, Saturday, for sure.
Yeah, we spent about a week and a half watching...
Buddy cop movies.
Just buddy cop movies.
But
I mean,
not good. Not well, they weren't all good.
But a couple
of them were pretty good.
But... We'll get to that later. Yeah. Right now, I think we should just say what's going on with us right now. What are we doing? What's going on?
Right now, I'm avoiding buddy cop movies for a while.
Sure. I mean, it's your funeral. Okay, whatever.
I mean,
but right now
lie.
We're right now there's a we're located in Athens, Ohio, and There's a big snowstorm and ice storm out there right now. There's ice covering everywhere.
We're holed up in a bunker.
Yes, we're holed up in a bunker. A bunker that's also covered in ice.
Yeah, it's really bad.
It's pretty icy. I had to walk from one of my classes all the way.
I had to walk part of the way back. I got to ride part of the way, but I had to walk the rest of it. It's pretty.
The weather, man. That's the. You get, everyone out there should know about what the weather is and information about what the next day is, because that's good talk with the old folks.
If you're in Athens, Ohio, and you're listening to this tomorrow, stay inside.
Yes.
Because it's going to be awful.
Yeah.
It's pretty awful already.
But the weather, man. Yeah.
Let's keep talking about the weather.
Let's just keep going
Just keep talking about the
weather. So, what have you been watching lately?
Like I said, avoiding buddy cop movies for the most part. Let's see. Watching a lot of television.
Yeah, I know. So you've been watching a lot of Battlestar.
Battlestar Galactica. And then I finished the fourth season of 6 Feet Under, which was not easy because that has some rough patches. There's a kidnapping of a certain character and a.
I like when Peter Krause, whatever Krause's name is, and his wife died. He's all like, Lisa, like the entire season.
Yeah, well, it does pay off in the last episode, but I won't give it away. In the end, I'm looking forward to the fifth season, but the fourth season was rough. And then I started MASH because. Always told me to watch MASH.
Hell fucking yeah, man. I love MASH. MASH with a passion.
This guy's telling me, like, the first season's kind of rough. No, it isn't. You were telling me, like, the first season, like, it's not as good as it. You
compared
know?
To the rest of the season, it is.
I was prepared for, like, pretty bad, like, dated.
No, it's still good.
It's still really good.
It's still good, but that's probably the worst season.
Oh, man.
So now do you just have... more better and better stuff to go to. That's why I got really addicted to it, because it keeps going, getting better and better and better.
Yeah, so...
I mean, it does get preachier and less sitcomish, but I think that's for the better.
That's a good thing, yeah.
And Alan and all got a lot involved in it. But lately, I just recently bought the third season of Family Ties.
You did.
So I've been watching that, and right now, I haven't finished the episode yet, but Mrs. Keaton just went into labor... while there's doing a pledge at PBS.
Really?
Yeah, so she's going to have a baby on TV. You see? And it's also on TV in the real world because it's a TV show. But in a TV show, she's going to have a baby on TV. Michael J. Fox is all like, I'm Michael J. Fox and I'm awesome.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we'll talk more about Michael J. Fox later.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
But yeah, I did not know Family Ties was so cutting edge.
And today I watched two new movies. I watched What Just Happened.
Which I need to...
Which
need to
got tons about. And tons of bad reviews. Barry Levinson directed that, and stars like Robert De Niro and has a bunch of other actors. Bruce Willis is in it.
Yeah, Bruce Willis plays... he's like a stand-in for Alec Baldwin, which I think is funny.
Yeah, and it's this movie got a lot of bad feedback, and
I heard just
everyone
kind of
hated it. And yeah. Everyone's like, the movie's meh.
Yeah,
but I really liked it. I really did. I thought it was funny. It was entertaining. Probably because I'm not in the whole. I don't actually live in Hollywood like most movie critics and all this stuff.
A lot of them
like I live in Hollywood. A lot of the people who review the movie live in Hollywood, so they see that. They see that shit all the time.
They deal in the industry.
So why would they want to mess with that? That's like if I worked in a purchasing in a like purchasing in like some factory, then they made a movie all about someone, you know, purchasing in some factory. I don't want to watch that.
No,
like purchasing and delivering and stuff like that. No, hell no.
Even people who didn't previously work purchasing in a factory.
My mom used to work purchasing at a hospital.
Fair enough.
I never actually know what that job was.
The most boring occupation I've ever seen on film was the movie Bubble.
Oh, was that when they made the dolls?
Yeah, where they make the dolls. It was actually filmed in Ohio, yeah.
Yeah, I've been in that town several times. But the other movie I watched before we went on rambling about jobs.
Let's talk about Bubble.
Yeah, let's talk more about Bubble. No, I just got him watching Rock and Rolla right before we recorded this.
Which is a great soundtrack.
Yeah, I love the soundtrack. It's actually my One of my, I really loved it. It's probably my second favorite Guy Ritchie next to Snatch.
Yeah, it's definitely, and Revolver.
Revolver's pretty sweet.
Revolver's,
but it's more retarded than good.
Yeah, but it's retarded in a fun way. Like, I don't know.
Like Southland Tales.
I really like Revolver.
Yeah, we're both on a copy.
You know, it's like the kid that, you know, you love even though he's got Down syndrome or something.
Well, shit, it'd be topic time, yo.
All right. Well, let's, when I say buddy cop movies, when you
should have done a better segue, like, my partner just died. You're not gonna be my partner.
We're so different. We could never be partners.
Do you like tomatoes?
No, I like tomatoes.
I love tomatoes, and you call them tomatoes. We must join forces to kick the ass of this drug lord,
usually
a crime syndicate, or a group of people who steal cars,
or someone who stole the tribal spear.
Hell yeah, tribal spear is stealing. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter what they steal.
Well, our topic today is the unsung heroes of buddy cop movies. Of course, we all know the Lethal Weapon,
Beverly Hills Cop,
The 48 Hours. We all know the truly big buddy cop movies, and the really entertaining ones,
They can be done really well.
And we both went to Hollywood Video, and we looked at every single movie in that entire store.
Well, you went in with you had a list in your head.
Yeah, I had a list in my head, and I decided to, and we just picked as much buddy cop movies we could find. We just start grabbing, probably spent like $20-some on rentals there, just getting these buddy cop movies, and some I've seen, some I haven't. Some were just like advertised like the buddy cop movie, but really weren't.
And some one was.
And some I had mostly about half of them I've seen, I just don't remember.
Yeah, there's a couple that I watched Saturday that I don't really remember.
Oh no, yeah. Same here.
Because they do kind of some of them do
go together, and we kind of watched a lot of these in like one stretch. So
I mean, it got really bad Saturday. I mean, Saturday was. We watched like five in a row that morning, and then like they just got worse and worse because the heyday of the buddy cop movie is like right after Lethal Weapon. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, because like pre-Lethal Weapon days,
it was like 48 Hours.
But 48 Hours is probably the predecessor for the buddy cop movies.
Predecessor.
I don't know, man.
Or precursor.
Fuck. I'm not no spelling teacher or grammar some bitches.
Fair enough. But yeah, we went back to the year 48 Hours came out to get our first movie, which is actually at our college library. It just came out on DVD.
Is that the same year as 48 Hours?
Yeah, 1982.
Oh yeah, it is. And 48 Hours is probably the first true buddy cop movie. Of course, we all know that the normal buddy cop motif is what we was planning to get from all of these movies, which is like this renegade crazy cop gets teamed up with a different type of cop,
either by the
book it's like Odd Couple, but they have guns.
It's like basically.
Yeah, and it's that sort of thing. And okay,
yeah, let's
and
jump
the first
into
movie
it.
We watched was from 1982, and it was directed by
James Burrows. He's a television director,
and stars Ryan O'Neal and John Hurt.
The name of the movie is Partners.
Partners.
What better name for a buddy cop movie is it?
Partners. Yeah, come on. I've heard of this one. I used to see it on Netflix a lot. It's all about, there's this serial killer going around going into like gay bars and killing people.
Kind of like Cruising,
I guess. Like Cruising. And there's this, and Ryan O'Neal is this cop, and he's put on the assignment to pose as a couple. He's straight.
He's a desk clerk, played by John Hurt.
Yeah,
is gay, and his name is something Kerwin, like Fred Kerwin.
Yeah.
I just thought Kerwin was a good name.
I don't know. But and it's supposed to be like this, like Ryan O'Neal's this cop, and he gets teamed up with John Hurt, which is actually gay, and Ryan O'Neal is straight, and you know, they
learn a lot about each other.
Yeah, it's
they learn to live with each other, but most importantly, they know.
And it's a comedy.
Themselves.
The cover has like had like Ryan O'Neal with a gun and like John Hurt with like a hair dryer and he's like hair dryer.
But what's surprising is that the movie isn't as much like goofy like that.
No, I was actually surprised. John Hurt's performance is really good. Because I thought the whole movie would have been like a big action packed or a really good comedy, mm-hmm. but really it was actually made quite serious.
Yeah, it didn't focus as much on how they were different as like as much as it was like there
it
was
kind of did it kind of did but like
there was it was mostly about the mystery like,
but it had the motifs that they're in all of
it
them.
Did have a lot yeah
like well, they're two different partners they hate each other and there's always a scene where they bond by drinking. That's important.
This is the first one. Yeah,
they have that in there. And
this was the first one we watched. This is like a week ago, so I'm remembering.
Oh yeah, and we watched like his old VHS copy of it. And I think Ohio University Library has it probably because it's a movie about a gay couple, and it's like
and it's not as and it's like a, it's more
liberal arts college, so
slightly more progressive than Cruising.
Yeah, and it's not bad, and I'm gonna ruin the ending for you, but it ends with this kind of like really weird ending with John Hurt gets shot, and he's might be dying, I don't know, and Ryan O'Neal's over him telling how he loves him and stuff, and he's like it's okay, but it wasn't like sexual love, I don't know, it was kind of like it was leave up there, like Ryan O'Neal may have turned out to be gay at the end. That's kind of left open for you.
It wasn't like it was just like you know partner love.
Yeah. And it was.
That's how most of these buddy cop movies.
Brotherly love.
In this
man.
Case,
brotherly
the
love.
Other cop was gay.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
the gayness made me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Made me want to punch people and have sex with chicks all the time.
Yeah. Right. And wear robes and sit without pants.
Actually, no. I mean, it's an interesting movie. It's the director. It lacked a lot of direction.
Like we
guy
did a lot of TV.
Yeah,
and
this is
like
the only movie this James Burrows.
Yeah,
is done. The only movie he's done. The rest is all been TV shows and
or TV
movies.
Yeah.
And you can tell this kind of looks like a TV movie. It looks like a pilot. This like a backdoor pilot, like a TV movie backdoor pilot.
Oh, what a
and
show!
Then,
this
and then,
been.
Then there's
yeah.
gonna make a TV show called Partners with so, Ryan O'Neal.
He might.
And John Hurt.
Moving on from something that's not very well shot to something directed by cinematographer Peter Hyams.
Yeah, this is from 1986, the year of my birth.
Running Scared, not the Paul Walker eating pussy movie, the other one.
I've seen like half of the Walker one. And I don't like it.
I like it.
Okay, but this is directed by
Peter Hyams.
And
it's got Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines, and they play buddy cops.
It's more,
but they're not really like they're just good friends.
Yeah,
like, there's no real.
Yeah, it's like it's a buddy cop movie because they're friends and they're cops.
Right, and
but,
one's white and one's
but
black.
It's not,
but, that's
but it's
not a
buddy
deal.
Cop. You know, like one's crazy, one's by the book.
No, it's like they're both kind of
one's black, one's white.
Yeah, they're both kind of just.
Will these
their
two races clash?
And they don't. They
no.
get nothing. You know, it's more about like the drug lord they're trying to bring.
Yeah, and the movie.
Oh, and it is about it. Well, the basic plot is they decide to retire while they're like young.
Yeah,
and then they end up going back in to get the drug lord.
Yeah, which I found it was interesting. It was pretty cool to see Gregory Hines not tap dancing.
It was cool to see Billy Crystal
not telling baseball jokes.
Well, he told a bunch of baseball jokes. So.
Yeah, but not all like baseball jokes.
And
my
it was
dad,
good to see. This is the first movie with Joey Pants in it.
Oh, Joey Pants! Oh yeah.
Theme.
Throughout the entire of all of our movies, there's a good half of these have Joe Pants in them.
The first half,
or his full name is
Joe Pantoliano. Well, but mostly the first half, because the second half just turns into like action star stuff.
No, he was in a couple other ones.
Not after. Anyway, not after like 90.
Yeah, he was in Downtown. Okay.
Yeah.
But actually, we forgot to rate.
Partners.
Partners. Let's say 1 out of 10.
I would get I'd give maybe 1 or 2 out of 10. I mean, it wasn't anything special.
Not a 1 out of 10. Like that's the rating. What would you give it? 1 to 10.
Oh.
Not like a 1 out of 10. That's pretty bad. It's not. It's almost that bad.
Give it like a I don't know like a 2 or 3. I mean, it wasn't very.
I gave
it
a 4.
Special. I'll go with a 3. But I'm not going any higher. Okay. I've been raising it as I've been rating it. And anyway, Running Scared, I'd give probably a 6.
Yeah, Running Scared was entertaining. It's, I don't know, I kind of don't remember. A lot of these, I don't remember what the actual...
story was, because all the stories are very similar.
Yeah, and I don't really remember what the actual crime was. Same thing with a lot of the James Bond movies I've watched. Yeah. It's just like, God. It's just like, they're I'm all like, insane. I completely lose why he's trying to take over the world.
There's the one guy that's got chips. 3 nipples.
I don't know.
Right?
I don't fucking know.
The one Bond guy has 3 nipples.
I want to take over the world with gold. I love gold. I want to take over the world that has nothing to do with gold.
I have a space station in space.
And I'm going to blow up the Earth for no apparent reason.
With a laser.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
And yeah, Running Scared is pretty good. And well, the next movie is one that definitely stands out.
It's from 1988, directed by
Mark Goldblatt. He's an editor first. This is the first movie he directed.
And stars Trent Williams.
Treat Williams.
I don't know. Is it
Treat, yeah. Like Trick or Treat, yeah. No, it's Treat Williams.
Are you sure about that?
Promise. Then we got to move on. It's Treat.
Well, and Joe Piscopo, which...
Piscopo.
Whatever, man.
All right. Clearly, Eli did not watch this movie. No.
I have one of his records.
Okay. Yeah, this is a movie...
I wrote an entire paper in one of my film classes on Wise Guys.
Okay. Well, this movie is called...
A friend of mine saw Joe Piscopo in a...
Piscopo.
Dude...
The movie,
and a friend of mine once saw him at a Wendy's in Maysville, Kentucky.
Oh wow!
He's just like, oh, he started freaking out, and like he was with some Nobody friends. Else and, like, no one knew who the hell he was, and he's like, oh.
Well, clearly they had not seen Dead Heat. Look at how the audio spiked when you did that.
Hell yeah, it did. That's my woman moan.
But anyway,
that spike is high that time.
Dead Heat is about two cops, one of which played by Treat Williams. Named Roger Mortis, is killed and then resurrected and is now a zombie cop. And so the buddy cop is one cop's alive and one's dead. Like, that's the difference here. And there's, like, these weird mutant things. Vincent Price is in it.
Hell yeah, Vincent Price is in it.
It's written by Shane Black's brother. Oh, and Darren McGavin's in it. It's pretty forgettable. There's not a whole lot there to recommend it except for the one line where the old lady asked Treat Williams, she's like... Are you okay, sir? And she said, and he just turns around and he says, "Lady, I'm fucking dead," and that's it.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I like this movie. I think it's a fun movie.
It's pretty fun. It's you know, Treat Williams is a zombie, and Joe Piscopo is his partner, and it's a zombie buddy cop movie.
Which I mean, when I first watched this movie, I was so pumped because it was a buddy cop zombie movie. Oh, that's like every 13-year-old's dream.
See, this movie is probably like one of the worst possible executions of that idea, but even that is still awesome on many levels. So
yeah, I mean, I definitely suggest it. Maybe not go out and buy it, but maybe get it from Netflix.
Yeah,
try to find it online.
I mean, you
but
can
it's
find
a nice
it
movie.
Cheap,
but
yeah.
I mean, you can probably buy it for like
$1. I got it for like $4.
Yeah, you can probably. I think it's like $5 on Amazon.
Yeah,
but there's also this. You can buy like it's Anchor Bay, and you can buy it with a pack that comes with like Return of the Killer Tomatoes and Return of Horror High. This big 4-pack. That's a pretty sweet deal.
But this is also the first post Lethal Weapon buddy cop movie. This is one of
and that's
four
key.
From
and that's key because the truly the biggest. The most popular, the most money making buddy cop movies are the Lethal Weapon movies.
They're the biggest influence.
And they're
the genre
ones.
They're the
ones
some
after
genre.
Lethal Weapon. They started copying to the point when we get to one of our later films. It's just like it becomes every buddy cop movie.
Yeah,
it became Lethal Weapon, and it gets to the point where you're watching the same movie over and over again.
It really does, and it really hurts when you realize it.
Yeah.
And after Dead Heat, we have a title that's going to rhyme with Dead Heat. It's called Red Heat.
Yeah, directed by Walter Hill, starring Arnie. Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger. When you talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger, you have to do a really lame impression of him.
And Jim Belushi.
And Jim Belushi.
That's my Jim Belushi.
Okay, I'm going to do my according to Jim impression. I'm Jim Belushi. I'm in According Jim.
According to me, you should watch this show. According to Jim. Well, in this movie, he's actually funny.
Yeah, he's
pretty funny. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger plays a Russian cop transferred to...
And Walter Hill is important because he also...
he did 48 Hours.
Yeah, I think he did another 48 Hours, so yeah.
Yeah.
And Walter Hill did a lot of buddy cop movies. That's the only ones we watched of him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a very... I don't know. I love Red Heat mostly. Arnold as a Russian. I think he's. I don't know. It was slightly different of the same role he always plays.
Yeah, and it's got a young Larry Fishburne in it.
Oh yeah, it does.
And I know you forget him because he doesn't have like a huge.
Larry
part.
Fishburne was in everything.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
I ain't
to him.
Calling him Lawrence. It's Larry. We're tight.
Whatever happened to Larry? I'm not going to do that. But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty fun movie. It's like pretty. You know, it's a good 80s R-rated action.
And it's
movie.
Really okay. It's really about Arnold the Suarez.
I'm gonna go get some more coffee. Explain the movie.
Well, it's all about the Suarez. The Suarez. It's this a Russian cop, and he goes to America hunting after a Russian criminal, and he ends up getting teamed up with Jim Belushi, and they so on and so on and so on.
And it ends with a pretty fucking sweet bus chase.
Oh yeah, and Arnold's doing like a ah! But it's like a really weird scream for the Swaz.
And Jim Belushi says, "I'm leaving, man. This is too Russian for me."
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, and the whole relationship is, you know, one's American, one's Russian, Cold War.
Yeah.
So the Cold War ended, what, about...
A year after that? Yeah. A year or two. It was like...
Actually, no, it was the year before.
Was it really the year before?
No, I think so, because they actually filmed this... This was the first movie, the first American movie to be shot in Russia.
Really? There's not that much of it shot in Russia, though.
Just the opening.
Yeah.
But it looks cool.
Yeah.
And there's some...
Well, where did Rocky IV shoot?
I don't think it's shot in Russia. I don't know, man. That's what's said on the box there.
Dude, Rocky IV wouldn't lie to us.
Dude, Rock...
They clearly shot in Russia.
I don't know, man.
All right. We're not talking about Rock. That's for another day.
Okay.
1988, still. This is the third month in a row that a buddy cop movie was released. Dead Heat came out in May. Red Heat came out in June. And in July, one of the... Probably the best one we watched.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't rate the last two, what we thought. Dead Heat, quickly. Out of 10.
5.
I'm going to give it a 6.
All right. Red Heat, out of 10.
An 8.2.
I'm going to give it a 6. Sorry.
But it's so good.
That's my IMDb rating. I don't want to disagree with myself.
I watched Arnold movies for years.
Yeah.
I mean, as a small child, to the point where, like, I pretty much know Terminator 2 backwards and forwards.
It's like the only movie that can make him feel people emotions. Real people. Emotions.
Oh, I used to fucking cry like a baby when he died at the end of the thumbs up. Why stick it under? Oh, who wouldn't cry to that? I mean, I don't cry now since I don't have emotions anymore.
That's true. And we're back to Midnight Run.
I don't have emotions.
Midnight Run with Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin, directed by Martin Brest, who later brought the world Geely. And has since been in director jail for no reason because
he did Geely.
Well, but the Geely was bad, but I don't really blame him. I mean, I kind of do, but
I don't know, man.
He also made Midnight Run, which means he knows how to make a really good fucking movie.
Yeah, he does. Midnight Run. Yeah, it's all about Robert De Niro. This is one of the first ones we watched where they weren't actually cops,
right.
But he was an ex cop. Now he's a bounty hunter. That's still like a law official. It's similar thing. We really just wanted to watch this movie.
Yeah, and
and Robert De Niro is, and he's hired by Joe Pants to get this fugitive, which is
Charles Grodin.
Yeah, who stole money from the mafia and gave it to charity.
He's basically Robin Hood.
Yeah,
and meanwhile,
but Robin Hood wasn't in Clifford,
right? And meanwhile, oh, he would have been if he. Meanwhile, the mob's trying to get him because they don't want him to testify, and the FBI's trying to get him to testify, and De Niro's trying to get him to New York so that he can collect.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's probably the longest movie we watched. It was what?
It was 2 hours and 7 minutes. It beat out another one by about 2 minutes.
And it's a really, really entertaining movie. It's
so good.
Oh, and it's like, I just love those road trip, those road movies, because he has to get him from New York to L.A.
Right.
By a certain time.
And he refuses
to get his money, to get his money, and he refuses to fly, all this stuff. And it's just like, and they have all these crazy adventures, and
I love and there's the rival bounty hunter played by, what's his face from Beverly Hills Cop?
Yeah, the not Judge Reinhold guy.
Yeah, the one who's not
not the boss, Ronnie Cox, but...
The other guy.
The other guy.
Hold on, let me see if it's on the...
I don't know.
John Ashton.
John Ashton.
That's who he is.
Yeah.
And, Midnight Run was a lot of fun, definitely. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I'll give it a 8.2 out of 10.
We're not doing... What are you doing?
I don't know, man.
How are you rating movies?
It's how I rate movies, man. I love decimals.
All right.
Because I like decimals better than I do fractions. I'm sharing that with you. And your listeners. I never told that to anyone.
Never cared for fractions?
Hate fractions.
I don't really like them either, but...
Decimals are so easy on calculators, because I can't do math in my head, or I can't do math in anything that doesn't involve a calculator. I go do math that involves a calculator.
You know who can do math in their head? Aliens.
Ooh, good segue. Yes. Good segue. Our next one is Alien Nation.
Starring James Caan and an unrecognizable Mandy Patinkin.
And I absolutely love this movie. I used to watch the TV show when I was younger.
It's pretty solid.
I had this movie on VHS, and I used to watch it all the time. And this is just one of my favorite of the buddy cop movies.
It's the only other movie besides Signs that I know of where aliens are allergic to water. Although it might just be ocean water in this.
I don't know. I kind of forgot because
that's not like a strike against it. I just thought it was interesting that, like, nothing about Signs was that original. Like, even that one thing that was retarded in Signs was done in this better.
Yeah.
So,
and of course, this one's a normal buddy cop one. I mean, this is
a drinking scene.
There's a drinking scene because the alien gets drunk on soured milk.
Oh God!
And you know James Caan got soured milk because he's a renegade cop. He's doing a house cleaning or buying groceries.
Right, and James Caan's just trying to get drunk, but the sour milk just smells so bad, mm-hmm. and they complain mm-hmm. about because how are you gonna relate to someone?
He's an alien, and he's just a rough, rugged cop. His previous partner just got killed by an alien.
He just got iced.
He got killed on an alien who was high on like
alien drunk rage. Stuff. Yeah. Smack oh, and also Terrence Stamp plays an alien, but you never know unless you.
You know Terrence Stamp. Come on.
I mean, you can tell from his voice.
He's like, I'm Terrence Stamp, and you're wet.
This reminds me of Bliss.
Let's not talk about the movie Bliss.
Oh, we got to talk about Bliss at some point. Okay. Moving on from Alien Nation. That's the end of 1988,
by the way. Let's talk more about Alien Nation. We have time. Plus, I really like Alien Nation. I liked it.
I've
been meaning to buy the TV show on DVD.
I liked it. It had a lot of great ideas. To me, I think it was something that would play better in a TV show because it seems like a bigger universe than what the...
I think it was originally planned for a TV show, I think. Because the TV show works way better.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, the TV show, they got to expand the whole alien world, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And the aliens themselves and the race. It's... I kind of liked it. It reminded me a lot of V.
Which they're remaking as of today. They're gonna redo V.
And if I had to rate this, I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
I'd probably have to go with a 6.
But
if
you haven't seen this movie, I don't know why. What's wrong with you?
There's some really good special effects actually. It's one of the first scenes where you actually see the flying saucer hovering over the desert. Mm-hmm. I thought it looked really cool. It looked like a I don't know. That's
good special effects. But this is the first. This is the first of the two movies all about a human cop who gets teamed up with something who's not human.
Well, it depends on what you consider a zombie.
It's still human, man.
Okay, all right, yeah.
The undeads are still people.
This is by far the better of those two movies.
I think we're going to break right now since we just got done with the 88s and we're gonna come back to 89.
And 89's just gonna we're just gonna breeze right through it.
We're gonna.
It has 100% more Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah, so enjoy a little break. We'll be back in a second. Sing me a coming to town with my soul.
lose your mind, you know you're alone. Don't forget to pick up what you stole. Talk the trash to the garbage around you.
Welcome back. That was Beck on the like a video game remix of E-Pro or whatever, man.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
This coffee's hot.
Yeah, I just poured it for you.
Well, okay. Okay. Right. Well, he left off on 1989, and what's this little secret gem of ours?
Well, let's not talk about the title of the movie. Let's just talk about the name of Kiefer Sutherland's character.
Okay, first off, it's directed by Jack Shoulder.
He's named after like the part of the body that really.
I assume that sounds like a fake name, but it stars Keith Sutherland and Lou Diamond Phillips.
Lou Diamond Phillips plays a Lakota tribesman named
Hank Storm,
and Kiefer Sutherland plays a renegade cop.
That's named Buster fucking McHenry. Well, we added the fucking because with a name like that, that is all you will be doing.
Buster fucking McHenry.
Buster fucking McHenry. And this movie is called Renegades.
They should have surrounded that name with a better movie. I'm a renegade
who had it made. Okay.
Yeah, they should have surrounded that excellent name with a movie of...
Okay, why don't you tell them what the movie's about? Tell them what the movie's about. I don't really remember. All I remember was Buster McHenry was awesome.
Some asshole steals a spear from Lou Diamond Phillips. Buster McHenry.
Oh, and also killed his brother.
Buster McHenry's a cop who, he's undercover at the time, I think. And then that's how he's like robbing a bank with him or something. And then they decide to steal a spear just for the fuck of it. And, they turn out to have stolen the spear from the wrong Lakota tribesman. And Lou Diamond Phillips, a.k.a. Hank Storm, teams up with Buster McHenry.
Yep, fucking yeah.
Which, you know, fuck Jack Bauer. We're going to call Kiefer Sutherland Buster McHenry. You know, that's who he is now.
Oh, he will always be Buster fucking McHenry.
Basically it ends with... I think the movie was written based on a dream someone had. Where a flaming spear goes through a guy's chest, a bad guy. And they're like, write that movie. And then we get this movie with that one cool thing in it. And Buster McHenry.
That was probably in the dream, too.
Definitely.
Anyway,
I didn't really care for this movie.
I'm going to give it, like, maybe a 2.
Yeah, it's some very... partners. Other than having the awesome names of Hank Storm and Buster Fuckin' McHenry.
That's what the points are for.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be Renegades. And some of the action scenes weren't that bad.
The action scenes are okay, yeah.
It was
there's
just
a pretty good car
else,
chase at the beginning.
Everything else is kind of, eh.
Yeah, it's like a buddy cop movie that doesn't try to do anything else.
It's kind of like what happens is, like, Keith Allen is undercover. Lou Diamond Phillips kidnaps him, and then they join forces.
Well, Kiefer Sutherland gets shot, or Buster McHenry gets shot, but of course
by Lou Diamond Phillips.
Of course, Buster McHenry's fine because he's Buster fucking McHenry.
Yeah,
And he teams up with Lou Diamond Phillips out of pity.
Hell fucking yeah.
Anyway,
okay. The reason other than the Buster fucking McHenry we remember of this movie is probably because Midnight Run was so good, and
this followed that.
Yeah, and Alienation was so good, and then after that. Then after Renegades, we watched, from 1989, directed by Ridley Scott, Black Rain.
Which was really good.
Yeah, starring Michael Douglas and...
Ken Takakura.
Andy Garcia. This is, story-wise, this is your basic... It's your basic buddy cop movie. It has your scene with the new cop, and they're drinking with them to try to get to loosen him up. And it's pretty much all about... Andy Garcia and
Michael Douglas
are partners in New York City, and they end up capturing this the Japanese criminal, and then they take him over to Japan, where he ends up getting
he escapes,
and then they join forces with the Japanese soldiers or Japanese policemen to get him back, and it sounds like an Andy Normal buddy cop movie,
but the difference here is Ridley Scott behind the camera.
Oh yeah, and it's made really good. It's real serious. Yeah. The music's good.
There's a really like shocking. I don't want to give it away. Like I was genuinely like I did not expect that. Like in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, let's just say something happens to one of the guys, and then teams up with the Japanese guy, and so it's like kind of a.
Yeah, it's like the first 10 minutes of every buddy cop movie stretched out to about 50.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what makes
it
so effective.
And it kind of seems like a sequel to a buddy cop movie. Like
it's
like,
the one where
Andy Garcia, who's like this kind of by the book, kind of suave guy,
and Michael Douglas,
who drives a motorcycle and he's crazy. And guess what? They go to Japan.
Basically, yeah.
Just like Rush Hour 2.
Which, if this was a sequel to, like, a buddy cop movie, I think people would talk about it more. Because it would be like, wow, that was really good.
But it's so good, but that is really a special edition DVD of it.
It's a really good documentary on it. We're probably going to watch after this, but yeah.
Why not, yeah.
It's,
This is probably, Midnight Run is the best movies we've watched this entire time.
This one, I was going
to
give it
Next to a later one, we'll talk about.
Alright, I was going to give this a 7, but I think I'm going to have to push it up to an 8.
Yeah.
Just thinking about it, like, there's so many, like, Ridley Scott just... I mean, the movie it looks like of his the most is Blade Runner. Like, this is when he's on... It was, like, Blade Runner, Legend, and this. Legend, I didn't really like, though, but...
Legend looked cool, but that's about it.
Yeah, and then Blade Runner and this are, like, they look a lot alike, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of similar, yeah. like...
I liked it. I would give it about an 8 out of 10.
And next we have the buddy cop movie.
Okay, this is why we had this buddy cop movie. We were trying to think of a topic, and I was at my home, not where we're at now, but like my parents' house, and I was looking at all my VHSs, and I saw a copy of this movie from 1989, directed by Richard Benjamin. 1990, my bad. Directed by Richard Benjamin, starring Anthony Edwards and Forest Whitaker, called Downtown. This movie is every buddy cop movie. Whatever you think of a buddy cop movie... This has all of that in it, and it's like, and I'm like, yeah. I'm like, it's an okay movie, but it's such a traditional buddy cop movie in every way, and like, no one ever talks about how awesome this movie is.
It's pretty, okay, there's some excellent stuff, like, the first half is excellent, because, Forest Whitaker wants to kill Anthony Edwards.
Pretty much.
Like, he almost died several times.
Okay, this is the plot, okay?
Okay.
Anthony Edwards is this by-the-book cop! Then he and messes the wrong people. Now he transferred to downtown, where the laws are different. And he's teamed up with a partner whose only rule is no rule.
I think you just quoted the back of the book, the back of the box, like word for word.
I could have, but I feel like walking over.
It doesn't really sound like you're mocking it though, because that's how we're describing every movie so far.
So he ends up teaming up with crazy Forest Whitaker.
Forest Whitaker got the role in Last King of Scotland as Idi Amin. Based on his performance in this movie, he's a fucking psychopath.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it's insane.
And it's a lot of comedy in it. There's this one scene when Anthony Edwards goes on his first beat with that's cop word. Got that?
Well, you mean the one where Forrest Whitaker tries to kill him by like driving off while he's hanging under the passenger
side. Oh, he did that too, because he didn't want him to just sit in the car with him, so he had to like hang off. But he went on his first beat, and he ends up seeing these domestic dispute, and he goes up to see what it is and check it out and make sure. Oh, and guess what? He walked in there. The people are like, what's this crazy honky doing? Even though these people are white as well.
Yeah.
But
they're not used to a honky cop in there.
And they end up like grabbing him and like ripping off all his clothes and then throw him outside
naked. That's right. He's naked.
And it's
Rush Hour 2.
Oh yeah, it's like Rush Hour 2. And Rush Hour is another one of those, like, it's just everybody cop movie into
pretty
one.
Pretty much.
And
Downtown, all right, that, if you've seen a bunch
of there are just
movies,
tons of crazy jokes, Anthony Edwards being the crazy honky, loves Beach Boys.
And Forrest Whitaker likes rap music, but at the end, at the end they're both in the hospital, and Forrest Whitaker shoots the fucking
stereo. And then Forrest Whitaker's family likes Anthony Edwards, and they start singing Beach Boys songs.
And the kids are doing Surfing USA. Basically, like, that's, you know.
That's
the movie.
Everybody Cop movie. I like this movie. I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10.
I'll probably give it a 5 just because it's...
I like it.
All right. Moving on to 1990, a month later.
Directed by Bob Clark.
Here's a movie that we were really, really looking forward to.
It stars Gene Hackman and...
Dan Aykroyd.
And it's called Loose Cannons.
It's a buddy cop movie where one of the cops has multiple personality disorder. He's schizophrenic. And which cop is schizophrenic? Is it Gene Hackman or Dan Aykroyd?
It's Dan Aykroyd.
Which is why the movie sucks.
It has
one like really cool scene where Dan Aykroyd like is piecing everything together. It's like I thought that was a cool scene.
He's like a monk type cop who's like really good with Dan Aykroyd, has really good detail. Small and figure like seeing small clues and be like, a cigarette butt, blah blah blah. He
weighed 300 pounds and
he once got raped by his parents at the age of 7.
Right.
Blah blah blah. He bought these cigarettes at the convenience store in Iowa. It's
ridiculous deduction skills.
And just like Monk and all those.
The movie, it's like, it suffered from being viewed with a lot of other buddy cop movies, I think.
Yeah, yeah, and...
But also, like,
it's just a very Bob Clark movie, because Bob Clark, like, when Bob Clark isn't doing, like, a really, really cool, creepy horror film, he's doing really horrible, like, jokey-joke comedies.
Well, this movie has Dom DeLuise in it, who's also in Bob Clark's magnum opus, Baby Genius.
Yes.
But yeah, Loose Cannons, it's a great idea. Also, it should be noted that Andy Dick is on the cover of the DVD, but not only is he not in the movie, he wasn't cut out of the movie. He was in a photo taken specifically for the cover of that DVD.
Yeah, because he looked goofy.
Yeah.
And the thing is, but the problem that truly ruined it, and I think it's why it wasn't that good, was because of Dan Aykroyd. Because Dan Aykroyd's, when he do multi-personalities... All he was doing like famous lines from TV and doing impressions of like I'm Johnny Carson.
Well, like a big
stuff like that.
I mean,
and that's all he's doing.
Yeah, it's one note. It's a one note performance, and he's supposed to be playing someone who's like hitting all these different notes because he's fucking schizophrenic, and he's just like, you know, he's like a really bad stand up comedian.
Yeah,
So it's not a very good movie. I'd give it like 1 or 2 out of 10. Like I
give it a 3 out of 10 because Gene Hackman's great. And Gene Hackman's always great.
Yeah, I like Bob Clark, and I hate to see him make a movie like this.
Yeah,
but once again, fuck Drunk Drivers.
Yeah.
Anyway,
okay, moving on. 1990. This is directed by Clint Eastwood, starring Clint Eastwood and Charlie Sheen, and this is The Rookie.
It's fucking awesome.
Action scene wise, it's great. It's there's one flaw, like most Clint Eastwood movies, most of the ones he directs. It's a great idea for a movie, has great scenes, but flaws on the script.
Yeah, it's most just of his stuff can use goofy.
A few like rewrite. Yeah, it's supposed to be a little comedy. I think he made this because I think right before this he made White Hunter Blackheart and it was a big failure. And yeah. He's making some more personal movies and it just wasn't doing good. So he did The Rookie as like I'm doing another action movie.
And this was released in December in like I mean now it's a big box office time. I would assume it was then in 1990. So it was probably, like his get back into in good with like the people, have a big box office hit. And it, Charlie Sheen and Clint Eastwood, they're good in it. I mean, they're both really good. And it's got like it's got some great action sequences. Yeah, I
really like it. But we're moving on. We're running low on time. We gotta pass through this. The Rookie, great, has great action scenes. Charlie Sheen, Clint Eastwood, can't go wrong. We're seeing. I say go out and get it.
Next.
Okay, next one we watched was from 1991.
Directed by John Badham.
Starring James Woods.
And Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox!
The hard way.
Woo!
It's
the hard way.
You just flashed me.
Well, hell yeah, I did. No, the hard way. I love Michael J. Fox.
Mm-hmm. I know you do.
I mean, not in like a homosexual way, but I will have sex with him.
Okay. Only if it would cure his Parkinson's or something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've always been a huge Clint Eastwood. I am a huge Clint Eastwood fan, but I've always been a huge Michael J. Fox fan. I don't know why. I can't explain it, but I am. And this movie, he plays a cop. No, James Woods. James Woods is this crazy, crazy normal renegade cop.
Yeah.
And Michael J. Fox plays this movie star who wants to change his image.
He wants to do a ride along with this renegade cop he sees on TV.
Oh, and he does, and stuff happens.
And it's really good.
It is. It probably because we watch a lot of bad movies kind of like after this.
Well, also, like, I mean, this movie loses steam about halfway through, but it still ends
well.
Yeah,
I really liked it.
It's
great. I thought Michael J. Fox did a great job.
I thought it had a really good script. It was co-written by Lim Dobbs and someone else. And Lim Dobbs wrote The Limey. Apparently on the audio commentary for The Limey, he just argues with Steven Soderbergh the whole time about what he did to the script.
Yeah.
So, Hardway, great movie.
Okay.
Definitely check it out. Next movie, 1996. Fuck, I hate this movie.
1996, directed by...
Jonathan R. Batuul.
Yeah,
he'd be a fucking tool.
And it stars Whoopi Goldberg and a dinosaur. And this is Theodore Rex!
God...
Woo!
It's...
I used to always like this movie when it came out, like in, 95?
You can't hear me, but I'm silently weeping.
It came out in 96. This movie is a huge, huge flop. First, it's all about Whoopi Goldberg is this crazy cop, and she gets teamed up with she's a renegade cop, and she gets teamed up with a dinosaur.
To investigate a case of dinocide.
Yeah, a dinosaur got killed. Because in this world, dinosaurs live with us. They talk. They're giant, like Muppets.
They explain it in the opening, but not well.
Yeah, I don't really care enough. I mean, this movie is a truly horrible movie. It's the most expensive straight to video movie.
It was at the time it was released, but I don't know.
I don't think it is now everyone hated this movie. It failed miserably. Whoopi Goldberg verbally agreed to be in this movie in 1993.
Probably like at some rap party.
Yeah, she's probably doing
Karina or something.
She was probably on the backstage of Comic Relief, and she's really high on coke and with Robin Williams. Some guy goes like, "I have a script called Theodore Rex. You should do it." And she's like, "Ah!" Makes dinosaur noises, which this guy probably assumed.
Yeah, there weren't dinosaurs in the script until she made dinosaur noises.
He's like, "Oh, right." Yeah. She agreed to be in it, and she ended up getting sued, and she agreed to do it, but she hated the entire thing.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people in this movie too. Which
Bud
weird.
Cort's in it.
Bud Cort, Juliette Landau. She was Drusilla on Buffy. I don't know. Richard Roundtree.
It's a truly horrible movie. My favorite line is when Whoopi Goldberg says she doesn't like dinosaurs, and some guy's like, "What are you, specious?" When a dinosaur gets killed, it's not a homicide; it's a dinocide.
I don't understand how this movie was made in the same way. I don't understand like how Nazis could do that to perpetrate the Holocaust.
I think this movie's cute, man. It's cute.
No, there's nothing cute about this. The dinosaurs are creepy. The design of the I don't even want to fucking talk about this movie anymore. It's gonna give me fucking nightmares. They're as disturbing as the fucking California Raisins Claymation Christmas special shit from the early 90s. This is a horrible, horrible movie. Never show it to your children. They will grow up to kill people. You will find body parts in your freezer.
So, what would you rate it?
Negative. I'm a little specious, I gotta admit. So maybe I'm a little biased here, but...
Don't give such a bad review, and it would be a dinocide if you did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I'm not rating this at all.
Well, I'll give it a... I'll give it a... actual grade-wise, it deserves like a 1 out of 10. Entertainment-wise, given a 6.
How was this entertaining?
It was more entertaining watching you watch the movie than actually watching it. Because you're just like, oh, God!
It's the same experience I had with The Love Guru, where I was literally pinned down and could not move physically.
And then you started pacing while watching the movie.
But now let's talk about the next two together, because we are running out of time. And they both are Jean-Claude Van Damme buddy movies.
Yeah, the first one's from 1997.
Called Double Team, directed by Sui Hark.
Sui Hark, yes.
And
it stars Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dennis Rodman, and Mickey Rourke.
And Coca-Cola saves the day.
Exactly.
I give it a 4 out of 10. Moving on.
Yeah, this movie is like, they try to sell it as a buddy cop movie. I mean, it's called Double Teams. Read the back of it.
It's kind
of
like The Prisoner, but too, a little bit.
But it's not a buddy cop movie. It really isn't. He teams up with Dennis Rodman in the very end to beat the evil Mickey Rourke, which I thought Mickey Rourke did a great job in this.
Yeah.
There's a great fight scene at the end where he does it, but it's also kind of retarded.
Really, this is a buddy cop movie between Dennis Rodman and a Coca-Cola vending machine.
Yeah, at the final scene, this is a very famous scene. This is what saved the movie for you, and I thought it was
really, this
bad
is the
scene.
Best part of the movie. It's worth watching the movie to get to this scene.
Yeah, it's like a landmine goes off. And
there's this big explosion in the Coliseum.
And the Rome Coliseum. And a landmine goes off, which is the biggest explosion ever. And Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dennis Rodman, some other guy are running down a hallway, and like Coca-Cola machines are exploding around them. And then Dennis Rodman grabs a hold of a Coca-Cola machine and like shelters them with it. And while all this explosion's happening,
the fire goes all the way around them.
Showing that Coca-Cola will save your life. Moving on, moving on.
Knock Off, also directed by Sui Hark, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme and Rob Schneider.
It's as good as it sounds.
Which is inexplicably has much better action scenes than Double Team, because it's the same director.
Yeah.
And there's this great scene where he's like sliding around on like the loading docks from The Wire second season.
Yeah.
And there's just some really great action. And, it opens with a good action scene. It's really good.
It has good humor. I liked it better in Double Team. Still not that good of an action movie. It was okay.
But it serves as the meat in a shit sandwich.
Yes. And Rob Schneider, it was kind of entertaining in it. He could have done better.
Well, I mean, he's just kind of an asshole. He can only do so well.
Yeah.
The bread of the sandwich is Double Team in our next movie, starring Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman, directed by Kevin Elders.
Yeah.
Starring Dennis Rodman and Dane Cook, and this came out...
1999,
and this is Simon Says.
And it's, okay, this
Oh movie, God, this movie is so bad.
The worst part of this movie is not Dennis Rodman, like you might think.
Oh, no. This movie, it is Dane Cook.
Dane Cook does his entire stand-up routine. He shoehorns his entire stand-up routine into this one asshole character. There's also these two fucking monks. They're fat. They're like the fat boys, but they're monks. They're horrible.
Yeah, this movie is so, so bad. Dennis Rodman is probably the best thing in this movie, and he wasn't that good.
He wasn't good at all. This movie is that bad. I don't remember what was the plot of this movie. All I know is had to say.
Yeah, Dennis. It was actually I saw more Dane Cook than I did Dennis Rodman for some odd reason. Because I don't know, but Dane Cook is so so bad, and this is way before he became famous. This is like 10 years before he became famous. I don't know.
It's 6 or 7 years before he became famous, at least.
Yeah, and it's the same stuff, and it's just God, it's so bad.
Avoid this movie.
Okay, moving on.
Next movie. This is a good movie. The next one we're going to talk about is called Exit Wounds.
Exit Wounds.
And it's a buddy cop movie.
Starring Steven Seagal, DMX, Tom Arnold, Anthony Edwards.
Anderson. Oh. Anthony Anderson, not Anthony Edwards.
My bad.
And also, it's got Who else? There are other people in it too. Ava Mendez is in it. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and it's.
But yeah, pretty much every pair of people that can be buddy cops in this movie are buddy cops at one point.
Definitely.
Including the very end scene where Anthony Anderson and Tom Arnold are shooting the shit and they're buddy cops. Yeah, I'd give this a 7 out of 10.
6. I find it very entertaining. We couldn't go into more detail on a lot of these things at the end because a lot of these, pretty much from the hard way down, we watched all in one day.
Let's see. All right, let's go back. Double Team, I give it a 3 out of 10.
Yeah, I give it a 3 out of 10.
Did we rate the hard way?
Yeah, we rate the hard way.
Okay. Knockoff, I'd give it probably a 5 or 6. I'll give it a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe and, 5.
Simon says I'm not going to rate.
I'm going to give it a 1.
I gave it a 1 on IMDb, but that's not how I feel.
And Exit Wounds, I really liked. I gave it a 7.
Yeah, I gave it a 7.
Yeah, and then, it's as a great director, he's a great cinematographer, and the action scenes are done really well. It's produced by Joel Silver, which when I told him before we watched it, that
you can't really go wrong. And it's a really fun script, and then it's much better than our last film.
Yeah, which is our last film we watched over Buddy Cop Little Week was Half-Assed Dead, starring Steven Seagal and Ja Rule.
And it's not good. Also, Morris Chestnut. He plays the bad guy.
By this point, we were kind of just completely out of it. Because watching most of these, as I said, we watched probably half of these in one day. And our mind just was like, we could not focus on the screen. This takes place in the future in a where they reopen Alcatraz.
Let's just, you know, we're running out of time.
And
Ja Rule,
and they're in prison.
It's not very good.
Best I can do. I mean,
Exit Wounds, awesome. Half Past Dead, not awesome. That's it. Half Past Dead, I give maybe a 2 out of 10, 3 out of 10.
See, but a lot of later ones weren't as buddy cop movies as we hoped
for. Right, they're probably vehicles for action stars.
Probably the last true buddy cop movie we watched was Theodore Rex.
Oh, man, but fuck that movie. There's buddy cop movies made after that, like Blue Streak and, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a bunch, I mean, in the Rush Hour series, but we watched
what we was trying to do.
The weird ones.
We were trying to find the more obscure buddy cop movies. We were trying to find, like the mediocre ones, the ones that, like, you wouldn't hear anyone talk about.
The idiosyncratic ones. The ones that are like, that's a butt, they made that movie? Really?
Yeah, I have to see that. I mean, we didn't do too much research. Because I wanted to find, like, the weirdest buddy cop movies I can find.
It's
like,
not hard to find
like,
them
weird buddy cop movies
them,
from Italy and all that stuff, but...
Yeah. We should have got Bone Cop, Bad Cop. It's a French cop and French cop and a French-Canadian cop.
Yeah,
this is, you know, I think we covered, you know...
Yeah,
we covered it. Look, the buddy cop genre will live on. If Theodore Rex and Simon Says can't kill it, then nothing can.
Yeah.
So let's just, I don't know, final thoughts, you know.
Buddy cop movies, I'm still continuing watching them. I hope we're going to make more.
Mm-hmm. I'm taking a break, but it's not because I hate buddy cop movies, it's just because I've suffered a lot.
Yeah,
they get pretty bad, but when they're good, they're as good as anything else.
Yeah, if you notice, we haven't gotten major detail in a lot of these. It's because I don't think we can anymore.
I think our brains are numbed to...
These movies are...
These movies don't have much... They don't go into much detail themselves.
Buster fucking McHenry is all I can say.
And closing... Yeah, final words. Buster fucking McHenry.
Yeah, I guess so. And I guess that concludes our second episode.
Are we going to leave him with
woo!
Some...
Woo! Woo! Woo!
Are we going to leave
him...
him with some buddy music?
What are we planning... What are they planning to see for our next episode?
Trauma.
I think we should do the... All exploitation.
Oh, next episode, we're going to Australia.
And we're talking about some Aussie films.
Let's just say that we watched a movie the other night where there's a boxing match with a kangaroo.
That's not that common, but they go hunting kangaroo. Donald Pleasence in it. I don't know, we watched a documentary, Not Quite Hollywood. It's this...
It's excellent.
It's a documentary all about... All exploitation films, you know, just crazy movies from Australia. So we got a hold of several of them.
Many of them are not available on DVD. A lot of them are.
Almost all of them aren't. And yeah, we're going to watch them, and next week we should post that up and be great. And now I'm going to end it with some music. So enjoy.
Woo!